Hello, everybody, and welcome to In Response, a weekly Magic the Gathering podcast. I am your host, Brandon Lopez, and joining me are the other co-hosts here, Tyler Smalley.
Hey, everybody.
And Nathan Dorsey.
Hi. How long can we keep claiming that we're weekly before we get sued for libel?
We are weekly in very varying definitions of week.
What are the definitions of week that we...
We use... Jupiter
it is
weeks.
Weekly a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so 7 days. So which we have to
seven days on like Jupiter.
Yeah, I was about
very
to say,
slow
which planet?
Rotation.
Which planet?
Anyway, so the SCG Open for Columbus just finished like about an hour ago. We're gonna sit here. We're gonna talk about the tournament. We're gonna talk about. We only have one list currently, so.
What if I want to
stand,
Brandon?
I mean, you can do whatever you
want.
You can do whatever you want, Tyler.
I think I'll sit.
But, yeah, we're just going to give you guys a quick rundown of the tournament, what we thought about it, what we think about these decks, and basically our thoughts about what should be happening over the next week or so. So, the winning list was by Brandon DeCandio. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I keep forgetting. He played Black Green Delirium. He kind of just ran over everybody in the top eight. It like most of the games weren't even close.
The last
I would not describe the finals as but other than that, that is definitely accurate.
Yeah, especially the green white. Oh man, the did you guys watch the green white match?
Yeah.
I was really rooting for the green white guy because that's the deck that I thought had the most promise, but he just took him apart.
I do think that deck actually does have a chance, but they suffered from like this is what happens when you have three people and one person's building for the meta, building like what they think is the best deck, and everybody knows that that's the best deck, and then one person builds a deck that contorts itself to beat it, and then one person just builds a deck that beats it.
Well, this seems to be a case of people who had decks to beat the Swiss and people who had decks to beat the top eight.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
The green-white deck was, like, teched super hard to beat Saheeli, and it did that. But then it had a bunch of just dumb cards when it came to fighting the other decks that beat Saheeli.
Yeah.
The two Authority of the Consoles main deck?
Yeah, that seems like a... Like, it is a good move in terms of... I mean, top eighting is... Building your deck to top eight is more important than building your deck to win, in my opinion, because you got to get to the top eight before you can win.
And I agree.
At the same time, it's worth noting that I think all the green-black decks did both. So that was probably, like...
That seems
more
to be...
That was the correct deck to build, right?
I think it's more a case that in my opinion, the Saheeli deck is not finished yet. I think it's pretty far off from being the optimal version of the deck. I don't think anybody really thought about black-green as an actual threat. And, like, something that they needed to, like, prepare against. I think everybody just assumed that Emrakul's gone, so Black-Green Delirium's not a thing anymore. Obviously isn't true.
Yeah, it was, like, blue-white at the last Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, what I'm suggesting isn't that Black-Green is definitely the best deck in the format right now, but that it was definitely the best for this tournament, because it beat Saheeli while still just being a regular Magic deck that didn't automatically...
It did have power and toughness. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I would like to see how this deck stacks up against a lot of the other decks that we didn't really get to see so much. I didn't get to see it go up against Vehicles, which I actually think the Vehicles deck is the best deck for the tournament. That's what...
I thought it did in the first round of the top eight. That's the first round we watched.
Was that who he played?
Oh, yeah,
No, he smashed that guy. Like,
he played... It was the black green deck that I think is the best that plays the New Dark Confidant versus
sub theme one.
Yeah, I didn't like that deck so much.
I mean, Aethersphere Harvester is a really good Magic card.
Yeah, it has some really good stuff. It feels like it has the same problem that the four color Saheeli deck has, in that it's not taking full advantages of its synergies.
I actually feel like, well. Like, which synergies are you talking about? Because I felt like it took, like, very good advantage of energy. Like,
It does. I would like. I mean, I don't have a deck list in front of me. This is the problem with doing this right now, is that I can't look at the decks.
I mean, what do you consider very good?
I think drawing a card every turn for the loss of a life and an energy is very good.
I mean, that's one
card. Yeah, that's one card.
Yeah, and like it can gain lifelink on its vehicle, but I mean, it does that by itself.
Yeah, but it's also not like it didn't build into itself. Like the ability to get a lot of energy. So I think it uses energy at the rate that it should, whereas the four color Saheeli deck, I think, is one that needs a lot of serious reworking and could be very good.
I actually think it's really only a couple cards away, but I'll talk about that in a second. In regards to this black green aggro deck, when watching it, I actually got a lot of ideas of going Jund with it.
I was just going to say, like, what if you added Harness Lightning?
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought when I saw that card, was if it had Harness Lightning.
Does it play Painful Truths? Or I guess you probably don't need to play any draw.
No, but you get to play, like, Radiant Flames and stuff, which is really good. I think there's just I think there's a lot of legs with that. Would it, though? Because you're building up a lot of counters.
I mean, but it seemed like that, I don't remember the guy's name, I'm sorry, offhand, who was playing it, it seemed like his main, like, way to see extra cards was, like, Tireless Tracker and stuff like that, and you just end up killing your best stuff, and your Dark Confidant guy.
Like, yeah.
Sure, I mean, you
I
wouldn't...
think that's probably correct.
I think you can get past it, though, and, like, I mean, it would be more of a sideboard card than a main board card anyway, but,
yeah, you're working very hard for something I think that's, a, like...
If you go three colors with it, I wonder if Abzan might be better to play.
I was thinking that as well. I was actually thinking of SRAM's Expertise, and then the Oath of Ajani would actually be really good additions to the deck for building in a bunch of counters, which is really good, and also getting some free spells.
I haven't thought about it at all, so maybe there's enough synergy to make that card good. But my initial thought is that if green white couldn't find reason enough to play that deck, that it's just probably not to play that card, then it probably just isn't a good enough card.
Well, they don't have Winding Constrictor.
Like, that's true. But they also get to power out a Johnny on turn three.
A Johnny on... That would be impressive.
Not a Johnny. My bad.
We know what you mean, Gideon. I mean,
you could play Gideon, too. Like, that's...
I mean, that's
all options are on the table. But you also get to play Shock, is I think more important than anything else, is that you get to play Shock. And Shock
is nice.
Shock is good right now.
Shock is not as good right now as was advertised, though.
No, well, whoever was advertising that was supposed to be like the thing to beat Saheeli is an idiot. But it is a thing that keeps them from, as long as you don't tap out, they can't combo immediately.
I mean, Shock is as good at stopping the combo as any other removal spell. It's just that you need more than a removal spell to beat Saheeli.
Yeah, and I think this combo, actually, now that I've seen it, like, stress-tested and, like, against various strategies, like, it actually has a lot more legs than I was giving it credit for. I thought that, you know, I was in the camp of... couple removal spells, couple pieces of interaction, and you're okay. I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I was wrong.
No, I was.
You need to be way more prepared than I was prepared.
People who are saying a couple removal spells and a shock means that you basically can't lose to that deck were just completely.
I wasn't thinking can't lose. Hold on. I was thinking like you know, you got to set up and be prepared, but like you don't have to overly commit. But no, you have to have like a real plan. You need to like. Have a sideboard strategy, have a main deck reason for cards to be there to beat this deck, like that are also good in other places, like Shock or Stasis Snare or the best card ever, Walking Ballista.
Yeah, Walking Ballista really did a really fantastic job this tournament.
I expected it to, but like I was not expecting that good. Oh my god.
Yeah, no, it blew all expectations. I really wish I'd picked up a bunch on Friday.
I was pretty all in on the card. I probably would have bought some if I like wasn't playing all Magic Online, where that card's not out yet. There was, when Brad Nelson talked about it in his article last week, pretty much everybody was oh, well, Walking Bliss is not a real answer to anything. It's just, it's okay. It's probably, like, people were saying that wasn't even, like, really main deckable, and I was, no, this card's really, really good.
Yeah, that's why I was really surprised that the green-white guy wasn't playing four. He's like, how many was he even playing? I think he was playing two.
Yeah, I think...
two in the main, two in the board, if I remember correctly.
I think he'd probably be playing more next week.
It was really funny, I think, like, this week, having all of the people who started, near when we started, being talking about how Walking Ballista was not good enough and was worse than Hangerback Walker, and the older people who played with Triskelion were just like, bitch, have you played with this card?
Yeah, it's...
and, like, that one was six mana. This one's two that scales. And, like, I actually, if you heard the little quippet that that P. Sully was saying, was that he agrees that on two, Hangerback Walker's better because, like, you can just build it up really quickly over time. It's technically faster, but, like, that changes when you play them on, like if you play Walking Ballista for three, that is much better than playing Hangerback Walker for three.
I'm not even 100% sure that's true, because...
I mean, like, but when you play that in that stage of the game is normally when you are wanting the immediate impact that would have. Like, you're trying to...
I don't even really get the comparison, like, why people are even... like, I keep... like, people kept talking about...
it's just the mana cost.
Like, yeah, it's... these show two totally different functions.
Like, yeah. One is a resilient threat, and the other one is a threat that comes with its own interaction, and it's hard to say which one is better, but I do like being able to kill planeswalkers basically anytime I want.
When he just gunned down a full loyalty Gideon and Nissa, he's just like, all right, bye, and still had it around. I'm like, all right, I was wrong.
And it's
like,
it gives you delirium very fast.
Yeah, that's nice, but I guess that is cool, but, like, that's just more of an afterthought.
Care about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I guess I probably
to the Slaughter is really, really good. So,
all
if you can get to the Slaughter with Delirium, which Walking Ballista is halfway there, like, you're living the dream, man.
It's really good now, but, like, seeing, like, the way with Walking Ballista being such a good card, I can't help but wonder if we're going to see a serious downtick in Planeswalkers. They just seem like such a, like, liability now.
I mean, but Planeswalkers are what, like, Standard is about. Like, it would have to take something, like, even with Smuggler's Copter, which is probably the thing that's been most aggressively hitting Planeswalkers in a long time, didn't even force all of them out.
Yeah, but I think Walking Ballista is actually... I think Walking Ballista is actually better at killing Planeswalkers than... like, at least in the decks that are built to do that. Like, any of the black-green decks, I think they just murder Planeswalkers all day.
Sure, but it takes, like, so much setup, and but, like, Smuggler's Copter was just, like, play it, hit your Planeswalker, okay, it's gone. I guess that's over multiple turns, and, like...
you also have to, like, you have to question how much legs this deck actually has, because...
I think it has,
actually,
some. Yeah.
I'm not... it's really hard to tell right now, because I honestly think most of the Saheeli decks aren't built that well. They're playing a bunch of, like, just really strange cards that I don't think in long term you're going to see people playing in the main deck, like Oath of Chandra and stuff. Like,
I think I could see Oath of Chandra continuing to it's a repeatable burn spell.
Yeah, it is, but, like, I think people are going to, like, look at the decks that they have to beat now, Black Green Delirium being one of them, and, like, yeah, that's not doing a whole lot for you.
Like, yeah, I think this Healy combo deck is, like, that suffers the same as any other control deck. Is, like, you have to know how to beat the metagame you're going to be faced with. Same with Splinter Twin. It tailored its answers based on what it thought it was going to see. Like, its package was always the same, and I think we're going to settle on something that's going to be, like, the stock package. But even when Splinter Twin was at its high, there was multiple types of Splinter Twin, but they always had obviously the Splinter Twin and its various other things, but they always had the, like, remands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to fall into having that. Like, you're, like, two or three or four play sets of something that always comes with your Saheeli Rise, and, like, everything else is sort of flex slots.
So going into
the only, like, really brilliant thing that came out of the four color version was Oath of Nissa, but that is a really brilliant thing.
I kind of disagree. I actually, so, like, going into this tournament, the the deck to beat was blue white red Saheeli combo, and I actually I thought the deck was going to be good. I was more onto the four color version personally, and I think going forward the four color version is going to be the correct version. Because the way that I was thinking about it was that I looked at what I thought were the better twin decks to base it off of, and blue white red twin was, and well, I mean one of them was, but the standard combo version of twin I actually think was not the best version. I was looking at the Tarmo twin decks and the value twin decks, which were just like the combo was something in the background and you just played value cards and just sort of, you know, grinded out games where they could never, your opponent can never tap out. And that's sort of what I kind of wanted to do when building the deck, and that looks like what most of these four color decks are doing. And
yeah, but I just don't think, like, I think the goal behind it was correct, but I think we talked earlier about how they just don't have like a good way of spending their energy or really like,
yeah, that's why
releasing their inevitable flood card.
The first thing that I'm doing is I'm putting four Aetherworks Marvels into the deck.
Four.
That seems
excessive.
Awesome. Does it though?
Like, lots.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah, like
you really don't want it on turn four in this deck because you're not really playing any.
Yeah, I was feeling like more Whirler Virtuoso.
I don't like Whirler Virtuoso. Like I was playing Virtuoso in my builds, and like it's okay, it's fine. It doesn't do anything against these decks though.
Hey, you're probably right, but I'm looking for somewhere to put the energy. It'll actually gain me some sort of tangible advantage.
Yeah, I don't think it has to necessarily be doing something against the other decks so much as it just has to use its resources more efficiently.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll have to just figure out what is the most like efficient use of energy. Like, is there a way to like draw cards off energy that isn't some bad thing like Era of Innovation?
I mean, I don't know. You have to go black to do it.
The Aether Shield guy will do it only once per turn, but you flash a minute to your turn.
Oh yeah, that guy. Hey, I do like that guy. The tap spin three draw card. That actually seems moderately reasonable. Okay, let's stop building a deck here on the podcast.
We're gonna see in the pro when we get to the pro tier, you're going to see the optimal build of this deck. That's where it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not putting a whole lot of thought into building the deck right now because the Pro Tour is going to find this deck. And that's really when we're going to figure out whether or not it's broken.
The Aetherworks Marvel one had like a really good version, but I think the best version actually came out like 2 months to 3 months after that.
Well, yeah, but that's when the meta is getting fine-tuned out, and you have to sort of build the deck around that. The shell of the deck that is going to be the optimal version of the deck is going to be found. Because, I mean, you look at the guys who are playing in the Pro Tour, this one coming up. You got, like, Patrick Chapin and Paulo Vitor and, like, guys who are, like, really good deck builders and, like, have built decks like this before. And, like, Josh Utterleighton and stuff. Like, these guys are going to find the deck.
I think you're missing the big one, Mr. Matt Nass, bro.
Find it, but I don't necessarily think that we'll see it because I'm anticipating the big teams finding it early and then finding the deck that beats it because it's still. I feel like despite not making it into the finals, it's still going to be, the deck to beat.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what they thought with Aetherworks Marvel, and yet everyone else played it.
Yeah, sometimes the deck to beat is just, you know, the best deck, and you play that anyway.
That's true, but I suspect that they'll find something that beats it better.
You're probably right.
I'm sure they will, but it depends on really. It depends on how you like decide you want to attack the tournament and stuff, and like.
That's true.
If you just have a 50% and up matchup against the majority of things, you just take that deck anyway, even if you have a deck that can, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to go with a deck that gives you the most match wins, so.
I think it's definitely possible that scenario plays out. I'm just saying that I think the most likely scenario is that the average Pro Tour player brings a more Toon Saheeli list, and that the teams bring a deck that beats the Toon Saheeli list, and whatever wins next week.
I mean, that could be true, but even in that situation, like, you'll see it a lot of the time where, like, Channel Fireball will come in with a deck that they think is going to beat the deck, and then they just get beat by the deck.
That's true.
So, or there's just, like, Luis Scott Vargas. He's like, yeah, I'm just playing Bad Company. It's just good. And he just top eights with it. Like, just...
Yeah, like, that's what...
Sometimes he's got to play the deck to beat.
Like, I think guys like Patrick Chapin, Josh Utterleighton, Matt Nass, these are the guys who are going to be gunning with this deck, I really think. What are they? Team face to face. I think there's a lot of teams that are just like, they're gonna want to play this deck anyway. Like, this is the kind of deck they play.
Well, there's the new team setup on the Pro Tours that there's the 6-man teams. There's like Team Channel Fireball.
Yeah, the Fire and Ice
and Fire. Oh God. Such
and for
edgy
the record,
name.
The only channel team that I care about is Pantheon.
I don't even know if they have a team registered yet.
They have not announced a team.
Hasn't signed up for either of those teams, and I don't really like Raptors.
If you look at the list of the people on these teams, it's pretty easy to figure out like how they're building the teams. Like Paul Cheon being on one of the teams and stuff. It's like, not to say that Paul Cheon isn't good, because I like Paul Cheon, but that's like a friend invite. Like, you basically gave the Channel Fireball guys, like, 6 invites to give to whoever they want. A bunch of them are already in the Hall of Fame and don't need the invite. A bunch of them are on the train, so why not give it to guys who, like, Paul Cheon was having trouble qualifying, but he's good, so give it to him.
He just also runs the company.
He doesn't run the company.
He writes an article and streams.
Yeah, and he...
we've seen him running events before, right?
He works at the events, but I mean,
dude, just because he works somewhere.
Does he even live in California anymore?
Yeah, he lives in the Bay Area.
I was gonna say, because he moved down there not too long ago, I think.
Yeah, I think he's still living.
Like, I remember seeing him at the last GP we went, and it seemed like he was running the show.
No, I don't think he was running. I think he was working with Mashi. I thought he was playing for most of the.
Mashi seems to run a lot of the stuff, and Andy Cooperfoss, I think, does a lot of the stuff in the background.
Yeah, those guys are actually high ups in the actual like Channel Fireball, like, because you know Mashi always says, you know, editor in chief Andy Cooperfoss, and you know all that jazz. And Mashi has his own monikers that he says sometimes that I can't remember, but those are actually pretty high ups. I think it's more of the thing of like, you know how when LSV drops out of tournament, he just suddenly starts doing coverage. I think it's more like that. He's like, it's like, hey, you're not doing anything, why not do this? And, like, I mean, he still works for him, so why not, if he's there, help promote it? Because it probably makes him money.
We got the list up now.
Oh, the list.
And we got lists.
So,
here, before we do that, like, did you guys see... What was your guys' like favorite deck? Like, not like for winning or whatever. Like, what was your guys' favorite deck?
I didn't really see anything all that interesting in the tournament. The Metalwork Colossus deck was interesting, but, like, I guess it just wasn't that good. I don't know. A lot of the coverage, like, I didn't watch all that much of it. I watched a lot of day one, and then day two, I ended up just, like, I slept in a lot of the day because I worked the night before, and then I had the stream open, but also the NFL playoffs were happening, so I watched those while I was watching the stream. Yeah.
There were sports happening. I forgot about that. What about you, Nathan?
I was a big fan of the green-black aggro deck. Like I said before, I think it is the better deck than green-black delirium. It looks really tuned and really just powerful in a way that, like, it both is able to interact well with its opponent and also is just doing a very powerful thing all by itself. It looks like it can just kill you, but it also looks like it can play a really long game. Like in the finals, it looked like the wins were both just to kind of bad draws. He seemed to have control of the early game and of the late game. And
well, I mean, I'm trying to get the deck list here, but like,
there was some questionable play in there as well, I think.
This is true.
Like, what did he, like... Like, when you're on the more aggro side of things, like, you... I mean, that's one of the things you give up is good draws.
Well, I think aggro is sort of a misnomer, because these... Or Delirium, like they are basically comprised of very similar things. It's just, like, instead of the Aether Sphere Harvesters and the Dark Confidant variant... He has Mind Wreck Demons and Grim Flares, I think it was, like, the clean swap.
Well, the aggro deck just isn't playing any Delirium, so.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what differentiates those two, I believe, if you pull up the deck list. Like,
I definitely feel like it's accurate to call it an aggro deck. It definitely looks aggressive.
And I even think that the aggro version has more removal.
Three Fatal Push, three Grasp of Darkness compared to...
Four Grasp, two Fatal Push, Slaughter, two Ruinous Paths.
Okay, the Delirium
deck has slightly more. It's a very close setup. Anyway, it's also worth noting that there are quite a few, unusual decks just below the top eight that are worth looking into. Jim Davis' Blue-Black Control list looked pretty good. The Esper Aggro deck looked pretty good.
I think the Esper Aggro deck looked pretty good, but I have a problem with Davis's blue-black control deck. Is like maybe I'm just bad at control, which I will agree if you tell me that. But like when I was watching it during the whole day, it felt like he always had to like claw from behind like every single inch to win game.
That's control.
I think that's just what you do when you play control.
The control game plan.
You fail to win until you're winning.
Okay, yeah. I guess if that's the plan, then he was doing it perfectly.
Let's see, a black-white.
I'm also now staring at a Bant Eldrazi list that did 30 that looks pretty cool, but is also playing three Authority of the Consoles in the main deck, so that's probably why it lost.
Yeah. But, I mean, for how many Saheeli decks I'm looking past here, there might be a reasonable reason to play that much. So it turns out there's actually a decent chunk of Murder Vehicles here in the top 32.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, Murder.
I think that the Saheeli deck is going to do better next week. I think a lot of people are going to look at the top 8 decks and be like, okay, now it's time to take the Council's Authority out of the deck. And then, I mean, people playing sideboard cards in their main deck, it seems like such a bad idea.
And it was. It turns out.
I mean, they top 30'd and stuff, so I mean, it's not that bad of an idea. Like, they cashed.
That's true.
There's a sweet black red zombies list that looks exactly what you think it would look like.
There is a black white aggro deck that's it's okay. I don't think it's better than Mardu Vehicles.
Playing four Lilianas. That's nice.
Yeah.
About the zombie list. Anytime I see a deck that has like zero new cards in it, I immediately think it can't be good.
I mean, I always err to the side of having less new cards in my deck than anything else. For a week one tournament, I actually think that's one of the best things that you can be doing. Like, gear up something that you know is strong, like really really strong, and just
like that might be good. That might be good for the first week, but it definitely doesn't give me confidence in the deck's overall strength. Is if you can't find anything.
Consider the strength of a deck, though? Like, it's supposed to win you that tournament. Yeah. And if it wins you that tournament, who cares what it looks like? Who cares what it does next week?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess because you're more on the showing up and playing at storefronts every single week, and I'm more on the online playing like 5 tournaments a day. So, like, I mean, I'm just changing my deck, like, all the time.
I'm just trying to beat stuff
immediately.
I'm just saying that I'm not, like, really interested in looking it over, because it's a known quantity, and that known quantity was never that good.
I mean, yeah, but, I mean, that's...
Like, I realize the meta's changed.
It is a known quantity, but it's also something nobody's expecting to play.
And then it still only made it, what, into the 50s?
Hey, I mean, I've never hit top 50, so...
It's got 22nd place, I thought. Yeah, what are you talking about?
All right, 22nd place. That's a little bit better.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. What are you talking about?
That is higher than most of us have achieved.
I mean, we're on the West Coast.
Yeah, we're on the West Coast. I mean, things are hard out here.
But we just don't have opens.
Yeah.
Somebody make opens. I will come to all of them. That's not true. But I'll come to, like, four.
I mean, if they were even in, like, Nevada or, like, Arizona, I think we could be reasonably enticed to go to them.
Oh, no. Like, I could. I just wouldn't have the money to go to, like, one every weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's ridiculous.
Oh, hey. Somebody 39th place got a Jund Energy deck. Let's take a look. Walking Ballistas. The Bad Dark Confidant guy. Oh, he's playing the energy, like, really fast creatures in this deck and stuff, and, like, that seems
kind of... Oh, Long Tusk Cub.
Yeah, it seems like he's playing an Arlan Cord, don't like that.
Arlan Cord's fine.
Nah.
Arlan Cord is better than fine. She is quite good.
I wouldn't actually say that.
I mean, I would change a couple things about this, but this is essentially the Jund thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, it is, but it's not like how I would build it.
Sure, but this guy is doing it, and he's doing it before you did it, so haha.
And also, like, hey, like, this is gonna be like, maybe a crazy statement, but I don't actually know that I agree that Grent Sleeve Siphoner is a bad confidant. Like, if there is any modern deck that can actually produces energy without trying, I think this is just, like, better than it? Straight up?
Well, I mean, if you can produce energy, sure. But, like, energy is a Kaladesh-specific mechanic. Like, what things are they playing?
Like...
We'll have to figure that out.
It inherently requires a deck-building cost. So...
That is...
I mean, if they have some way to make it, then sure. It does seem strictly better.
Like, it has menace.
It is strictly better, except for in all the ways that it is not strictly better.
It is, like, I'm pretty sure I just said it was comparable. And that it would be better in a deck that could make energy without really trying.
Yes, it is. And Bob is better in every other deck. Therefore, Bob is better.
Ooh, shots fucking fire. Okay, so let's stop analyzing random deck lists. And let's do some overarching stuff. So what do we think the tournament's going to look like next week? Like, what's our breakdown going to be? You think there's going to be more Saheeli or less Saheeli?
I think there will be, overall, probably about the same amount. I mean...
There was a lot. 50% of...
Well, the thing is, I feel like most of the people who are showing up to the tournament already have the deck built today. And it's a... It's not like it's a cheap deck. But in predicting the metagame, price is part of it, right? Like, if most of these people already spent all that money on the deck, next week they might just still be slinging the deck because it's all they got.
Well, I don't expect that all these people will follow to whatever the next one is.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, people... It's not like people aren't already preparing for this thing. Like, people have already sleeved up their decks and stuff and getting ready for this tournament.
And, like,
people absolutely change from week to week, and, like, there is always an uptick of the winning deck in SCG, and this guy did not do well this week. There's no way that there isn't a percentage of people who aren't going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to...
I'm not, like, that percentage of people is existing, but a majority, like, a huge portion of the people going to an open are just, you know, people going to the open. They're not the grinders. I mean,
I'm just saying, people are getting off the list, and there is no way that, like, there is no way that a equivalent amount of people get on the list. And the people who aren't grinders probably didn't build Saheeli because, like you said, it's kind of expensive.
Yeah, and also, I think that there's a possibility of more uptick on the... in the green-black as well, just because of last season, before Emrakul and everyone was banned, that everyone had the components for this green-black deck.
Yeah.
Or at least a good chunk of them.
The green-black deck is going to be more popular next week. Because it's just, it's the deck that won, so people play the deck that won next week. I think
it's not just the deck that won, it's also cheap. Like,
yeah. I think
maybe less so now that
a lot of people, weirdly enough, think there's going to be more green white tokens.
I kind of do too. I think that will definitely be a deck that sees some a little bit of a rise in the percentage.
I think we'll see less control that's not Saheeli.
I think we'll see more actually, because
so that's
all the other control decks kind of look bad to me. So
yeah, maybe that's just my bias and me agreeing with you, Brandon, is that like all those control decks just look so bad. It's just that they couldn't beat anything.
Yeah, it looked like they weren't doing anything powerful, and like that's what everybody is hitting you hard.
They definitely were doing powerful things though, because several made it into the top 15.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like,
well, okay, Jim Davis made it top 15, and then the next control deck is actually a ways down. And I think, like,
more Jim Davis is.
Jim Davis is a world class player.
That's true, but I'm just saying, like, the metagame is now, like, known. And I think part of the reason why they're going to look bad because they're control decks and, oh, wait, there was a blue-red in top 15. That was what
it was. Yeah, that was Raymond Prez's.
They're always going to look bad because they're control decks, but they're going to be better set to meet the metagame next week.
Yeah, but see, to me, the metagame is still really unpredictable and, like, kind of up in the air. Like, there's just...
Yeah, we only have one tournament.
That's true, but I think what we can say for sure is that there will still be Saheeli decks, and any control deck beats Saheeli, and there will be Black-Green Delirium, and now they have a deck to fight.
Yeah,
maybe you're right. I can see there being an uptick in control, but I just don't believe that it's actually going to be that good overall.
To convince, the control players who like to play control will play control, but if you're going to sit me down and, like...
I mean, Watanabe is going to win the Pro Tour again.
You can't convince me to play control right now with all these other decks there.
That is basically what I'm saying, is that I think anybody who plays control whenever they feel like it is a good decision now got the signal to play control, and... At the same time, I think it is going to be a better deck than the numbers will indicate next week. Like, I suspect we'll see at least one copy in the top 8.
Really, a park control?
Yeah.
All right. There's some actionable information.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
What do we think the top 8 is going to look like next weekend?
I would say
how many Saheeli decks?
Three.
Three Saheeli decks. Okay, we're gonna have a repeat.
So I say two or less.
Okay, we're doing an over under three. So you got, over under three. So you got three and above and under. So you're calling three and above. Dorsey, you're calling two. I'm gonna go with Dorsey on this one. I think we're gonna go with two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are gonna be cutting out like their main deck sideboard cards and stuff because now they have to beat Black Green Delirium. I think Saheeli will do a lot better in the Swiss than it did this week.
I agree that people will be cutting the main deck, but I don't think having it in the main deck was all that good in the first place. And with there being fewer Saheeli decks, it will actually be like a good choice. And at the same time, people who didn't know how to beat Saheeli and thought it was just hopeless have been given blueprints for like how do you beat Saheeli? You play two drops. You punch them in the face. that's a thing Magic players love, man.
Well, yeah, but like the Saheeli decks also get to change their deck. So like we're also going to see that deck evolve too. So like I think the Saheeli decks are going to have a better
spikes. What you're saying is spy to, you know, evolve and do exactly what they do every time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Saheeli is going to have a better time in the Swiss next week, and I think that's gonna lead to like about the same amount of decks in the top 8.
I think they will have a better time in the Swiss, but there will be enough of a decrease in them, and that people will be better tuned to actually beat them instead of just like filling the main deck with authority of the consoles. If there's a noticeable difference, it won't be enough to prevent an overall decline in the numbers. Like there was just like I'm not sure there was a single match in day one that didn't have Saheeli on one side of it. Like, there's no way they maintain those numbers. That's just
not. But yeah, but I mean, that's, I mean, they could still make top eight, and I think they will.
You're thinking they're going to be, there's going to be less of them, but they're going to be more scalpel focused, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I think they will have an easier time getting through the Swiss. I think some very high quality players are going to be playing them, and I think three of them is a pretty safe number to be about.
Okay, so you got three, and me and Dorsey both got two. And all right. So Black Green, do we think Black Green's going to make top eight? And so how many?
Yep.
Brandon.
I'd go with three.
Three again?
Yeah, just saying the color combination, because I imagine there'll be a lot of mixing and matching and trying to figure out the optimal deck now that people realize the black green is still.
Yeah, I don't think black green has been settled down of what's good, but I think we do have
and
a shell.
And if also counting some sort of three color deck, then I'm gonna go with three also.
If we're counting like a three color variant of like the Windy Constrictor counter base deck, that's what we're saying, right? The Windy Constrictor thing
that,
with
that card cluster. In whatever version it shows up in.
Okay, then I'll give it that. I'll give a three on that as well. Do we think green white's gonna show up again?
I don't.
Oh, damn. What about you, Dorsey? Any love for green white?
Zero. I'm gonna give it 1 or 0. I think it's a good deck that wasn't being played nearly as much as the other decks and got teched way too hard against Saheeli. And when the Saheeli decks thinned out, they died.
See, I loved green white so much.
Tokens seem to have a pretty high representation here.
Yeah, and it had decent top 32 finishing. I just don't think people like understood how good Walking Ballista was in that deck. I think it's also very good actually in the deck itself. So I'm gonna go for two. I think people are gonna come out of nowhere and be like actually good. And
okay. How are we going to decide? Okay, if there's a deck that is an Abzan deck that is basically green-white tokens, but it's playing Winding Constrictor and Ballista, what are we counting that as?
I would count that as green-white tokens.
Really?
I would say that is way more of an evolution of the tokens deck than it is of the green-black deck. That seems like a walk backwards for the green-black strategy.
Because that seems like an immediate place to go for the Jun deck.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. We'll argue about it next week. Do we have any weird predictions? Like, do you think something else is going to come back? Do we think, like, a Merge ever has the chance of coming back?
No. I think Mardu Vehicles is going to do good next week.
Mardu Vehicles will probably. I feel like everything that didn't do good in this tournament still has a chance. Like, I haven't completely given up on the Colossus deck. Not a whole lot of people were playing it, and a lot of people, like, built it sillily. Like, Joe Lissette did pretty good in the first couple of rounds, despite like having like Gonti's Aetherheart, which never
actually didn't he win one round and then immediately lose his next three?
I don't know, but he went 4-4, so he won quite a bit.
He had two buys.
All right. Fine.
Ooh.
At the same time, he was still playing Gonti's Aetherheart, and I do not think like that can't be a mulligan. I don't believe it.
Yeah, you're probably right. that doesn't sound very hopeful to me, Dorsey.
I'm just saying, I think there's a better build of the deck out there, and that those first two. Okay, and it also beats control. So if you assume that people will bring control to beat Saheeli, which I think there will be like some number, but not a lot. If you can tech it to beat also the aggro decks, it doesn't even have to actually beat Saheeli if it can beat like everything else.
It just straight raffle stomps control. It's kind of funny.
And they get to play, like, seven sweepers because they don't have to care about control. It was, like, the only deck playing Yeheni's Expertise.
Which one was? I'm sorry?
The Colossus deck.
It was playing Expertise? Really?
In the sideboard, yeah.
Like, I would, okay, okay. I thought I was blind. Okay. So you think that we're going to see a Colossus deck in the top eight?
I think it is possible, but I would not place any amount of money on it.
Oh, man, he's backing out of it.
I would probably bet against it showing up in top eight, but, I mean, I could be wrong.
Look at him backing out of it.
I'm not backing out. That's just how I feel about it. That it's not that it's worth considering as a deck for the tournament, but I would not like guarantee it. I also think Emerge, like, it won't show up in this tournament, but I think it could, in theory, still be good. It just takes a lot of, like, when Emerge first became good, it didn't show up at all in the SCG tournament, and then the pros broke it. It's just kind of like,
it is a very difficult deck
to get the numbers right, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but without Emerald, I think it's just dead in the water.
Well, like, there were some Emerge decks, and some might argue that they were the better one, that didn't even really, that played, like, a single Emrakul and didn't always, like, actually use it. Sometimes you just Emerge four Deep Fiends in a row and they die.
Okay, so, Green-White Tokens, I actually think, could make one slot in the top eight if they sort of build the deck differently. Like, if they move into more of, like, being able to sideboard into, like, a really controlling version with, like, Fumigates and, like, cutting some of the creatures and stuff.
Dude,
actually seems like it's a pretty good plan.
Planar Outburst? Where's my Planar Outburst, man?
That could be good.
Yeah, that was such a good thing. When Green-White was in its heyday, like, the Planar Outburst, Linvala, Evolutionary Leap, like, that's how you, like, that's how you went over the top of, like, everything.
Planar Outburst?
Like, yeah. The Awaken board wipe.
Oh yeah. That card's called that. I always get it confused with the other one. The one that destroys them.
Oh yeah, Planar Cleansing.
I could see that being a good sideboard plan. So let's do does anybody else have anything or do a little closing bit here?
I have some. I don't know if you guys are going to, but next week is GP San Jose.
I'm not playing sealed.
I will be in an opera at that time, but Brandon, you could always go Sunday and play in the standard PPTQ.
I don't have cards. Like, if you could loan me some cards, I might be able to go do that.
I can absolutely loan you cards. Just let me know what deck you need.
I will be at least day twoing that GP.
Really?
I have. And I'm
I did not realize you had five buys.
Setting expectations high.
Damn. Ow.
I mean, I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying, like, to just at least day twoing. Like, I didn't realize we're not even playing on day one.
What happens when you open up your sealed pool and it's all like an equal level of rares and all of the cards are just bad?
You win anyway. You just figure out how to do it. It's all good. I'm great. Oh god.
You better fire up that Magic Online and actually you can't because it's not even out yet.
I know it's not out yet. They have sealed pool generators. I've been making a bunch of them.
That's cool.
On Tapped Out and DraftSim.com and all that jazz. They got some pretty sweet stuff actually.
I could
probably go down for a PTQ. I've been drafting in the last 3 to 4 days. I've probably done anywhere from 25 to 30 cube drafts.
I think he means Aether Revolt drafts.
Aether Revolt drafts? No, I haven't been able to.
Because it feels to me, and maybe this is I've just been like getting weird pools, but it feels to me that when it comes to draft, there are like way fewer vehicles than there were for pure Kaladesh.
Well, yeah, you'll the playable ones at least. I believe there's six vehicles. I played a few,
and I never saw a single vehicle. It was very strange to me.
I believe there's the three uncommon vehicles, the three common vehicles, and there's more rare ones I think this time around, and I think there's three uncommon vehicles. Oh my god, I can't speak. Two common vehicles and looks like three rare vehicles. So there's less vehicles overall because you only open two or one Kaladesh pack. So yeah, you will have theoretically less vehicles because of just the function of having less vehicles. So you're not going insane, Dorsey. It's fine.
Cube's great. I recommend everybody Cube more often. I think it's really good at just getting you good at the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cube is actually just, if you want to get really, it's also really where you find, like, the cool interaction, it's like, where you can really level up on your interaction knowledge, which I think is really interesting. But
helps you helps you get good at drafting, helps you get good at deck building, helps you get good at playing. Like, it's all around, that makes you really good at the game. Like, it helps you at all facets of the game. So let's do this to close out the show today. So you're playing in the SCG Open, or like maybe me, you're going to go down to a PPTQ for standard. What are you playing?
Green white tokens.
Nathan?
Oh, what am I playing? Probably four color Saheeli. Like, I kind of like the black green deck, but it's not really my style.
Always with style with you. You can't just play the deck to win.
I might just be playing that, but like, I don't like. It's early enough that it could turn out that any deck I pick would turn out to be a bad deck, even if it like top eighted the week before. So I would play the deck that I would feel the most confident with, and that would be four color Saheeli.
Okay, fair enough. I'd play Mardu Vehicles. Pretty much crushes most of the Saheeli decks. I think it can be tweaked a bit to do better against the, especially I'm looking at Derek Melinda's list, and like, it can be better. Especially to take on like the black green decks.
You know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'd probably play this.
All right.
Basically, what I'm looking for in a deck is I want great matchups against Saheeli, and then decent matchups against everything else.
You see, I have no logical reason why I think green-white, other than just I love green-white so much, and I just can't get away from it. It's sort of like Todd Anderson and blue-red. He says it doesn't make sense. I just think it's good, even though I know it's not that great. It's fine, but I can't stop playing it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, and I think we've talked off people's ears long enough to this week, right, guys?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry this episode didn't really have more of a structure to it or anything. We're sort of just, we've just finished watching the stream and got in here and decided to talk about it, so.
Yeah, there's no need to apologize. No, we love you, Brandon. It's fine. We understand. You go crazy a little bit at times. Oh, you were talking about the audience.
Are we blaming Brandon for this?
Oh, absolutely.
It's probably my fault.
Oh, yeah.
It usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but. You know, we love them anyway. All right. So we're rambling. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week. Play good Magic. You can please like subscribe to the show on iTunes and SoundCloud and like comment and like and do all the things. Put a review in on iTunes because that's like apparently like really really good.
Come on, guys.
It's just it'd be nice. Guys, if you like the show, just guys, like please. It. if you want to talk to us, tell us why we were wrong about everything we said in this, or correct us about anything else, or tell us that we had everything correct, which is probably the more right thing.
It's definitely the moral action.
You can email us at inresponsepod@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me by tweeting me at chaos with a K, chaoswithak. Everybody else do your plugs now?
No.
You could tweet at me at Tesla Sunburn if you want.
Yeah. So do that, guys. And, bye.